Yeah, what a beautiful song. Thank you so much. What a great image of being a living prayer to God. Listen for God's word as it comes to us from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. Then David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, I heard a story about a man who sued a movie theater for false advertisement. It seems that the movie theater was advertising a horror flick, and it said, "This horror flick is so scary, it's guaranteed to raise the hair on your head." Well, this man went to the company and said, "I want to tell you that that was false advertising, and I would like some compensation for it because that's really why I went to see the movie." And they said, "Well, sir, we don't quite understand. Can you give us a little more information?" He said, "I was just as much bald after the movie than I was before the movie. No change." Well, let me tell you something. I speak from the heart. There's just something about coming down to the end of the Lord's Prayer, and I'm different. There's just something very special and meaningful about that last phrase when we come to it, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen." It's kind of hard for me to articulate why I feel that way, but I'm sure that I speak on behalf of many of you too. We're different when we come to the end of this prayer and when we have prayed it. I read about someone who had this experience watching the funeral service for Princess Diana back in September of 97. Now, I missed it, but apparently you could see it on TV. But he said that they had the Lord's Prayer in the service for Princess Diana, and the worship leader, before he led them in that prayer, said he had a special request. And he said, "There are people gathered here from all over the world, from many, many, many different countries. We represent many cultures, many different parts of the world and languages." And he said, "I would like for each of you, when we come to pray this prayer, for you to pray in your native tongue." And so he began in English, "Our Father," and immediately voices were lifted up in French and Spanish, Portuguese, all the different languages of the world. And this person said that as he was watching that and hearing that, that he experienced something very powerful by the time they came to the end of that prayer. That's kind of how I feel. In many ways, it does raise a hair or two on my head. It's like that. Now, this is the last phrase in the Lord's Prayer. But if you go to Matthew's Gospel, and if you go to Luke's Gospel, you will not find it there. The prayer ends, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You won't find that last phrase there. So what's it doing in the prayer that we pray, the Lord's Prayer? A good question. Scholars believe this is what happened. Very early on, within the first century AD, as the church worshiped, they would have an offering, and following the offering, in the tradition of Jewish worship, they would bring forth a special praise that we call doxology. They would sing unto God to bestow glory upon him and honor and majesty. And they took this phrase, "Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory," from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, because that was the prayer that David had when they took up a special collection to build the temple. David said, I will not build this temple, but Solomon will build this temple. And the word went out to bring an offering. And the people brought in such an offering that it overwhelmed everyone. They had never seen an offering this big, this generous. And you know, it might have made some of their heads kind of swell a little bit to think, look what I have brought, such a big offering. But David prayed a prayer to remind everyone that we point to God in His glory, not to ourselves. And in preparation of building that temple, that prayer was remembered and prayed within the tradition of the Jewish faith for many, many, many years. And so in the early Christian church, they decided that they would have that as a part of their doxology, which came very near the Lord's Prayer in the worship. And somewhere along the line, it just became connected to the Lord's Prayer, such that the Lord's Prayer ended with that. Now, some people also say this. The church was making a statement by doing that. Because you see, for the Lord's Prayer simply to end, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the church wanted to make another statement. That Jesus taught that prayer before He went to the cross and before the resurrection. And something significant happened through both the death and the resurrection. Something amazing was accomplished. And it all had to do with God's kingdom and God's power and God's glory. And so they wanted to remind themselves of the good news of God's ultimate power and authority in the world and the victory that He has for us as we worship and follow Him and serve Him. And so they wanted to be able to make a theological statement too, that we have something to celebrate. And so that last little phrase got added on, partly because it was connected to the offering and the doxology, and also because it was a theological statement that no matter what goes on in life, and no matter what we go through or where we are, we have something to celebrate. Because our God is great. Yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head above all. So that's a little bit of a quick lesson on how did that last phrase get into the Lord's Prayer. The early church put it there. Now, in some of the translations of the New Testament, some later editions of translations, some scribes actually wrote that in Matthew's version. And so if you look in your Bible, sometimes you'll see a footnote, and it'll actually be added there. But the earliest text of the gospel, the earliest text do not have that last line in there. But again, why did the church again try to put it back in there? Because it became so much of their experienced life together in worship and in community. Now, as I was trying to convey during the message with the little ones, a doxology is not so much something that we say or something that we pray, but it's something that we sing. How many of you can remember how you felt when our choir, if you've been to the sanctuary services on Easter, how you felt when the choir sang Handel's Messiah and came to that part and the glory of the Lord, which basically was a quote from Revelation chapter 11 verse 15 that goes something like this: the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and His Messiah, and He will reign forever, and He will reign forever. And it kept repeating itself and repeating itself. That's a doxology. And that's to be sung. And there's something in singing that helps us to be connected to God in ways otherwise we couldn't be connected. And there's something in singing that helps us to truly celebrate and to truly worship. Now, sometimes we will actually have the Lord's Prayer, and it'll be an antiphonal Lord's Prayer, and we will sing it, And I like to sing the Lord's Prayer too. And the last line goes something like this. And the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours. Then the people reply, and the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours. Now and forever, now and forever. Amen. Amen. It's times like this that I wish I had David Marlette with me, who leads the choir, to do that. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sing the lines out, and then I want you to follow up. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours. Now and forever. Now and forever. Amen. Amen. So, when we come to the end of the Lord's Prayer, we're at a different place than when we started, although we end as we began by praising God. How did the prayer begin? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We end with praise as we begin with praise, but we're in a different place. We're in a place of celebration. Now, in the midst of that prayer, we know that in life we experience temptation, we encounter evil, we have hunger, we pray for food, we pray on behalf of the whole community. In the middle of that prayer, we are praying for the things that we need. We are seeking God's kingdom, God's will to be done. But by the end of it, we are reminding ourselves of the victory that is ours through our faith in a good and gracious God who loves us through Jesus Christ. And so by the end of that prayer, we can celebrate no matter where we're at or what we're going through. It never ceases to amaze me. I go to a nursing home, and I'm before a group of people, and I begin reciting the Lord's Prayer, and one by one, they begin to join in with me, and they remember it. And we come to that last line, for the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours forever and ever. Amen. And the atmosphere changes in the place. And I can see it on the faces of people. We're reminded of the victory that is ours. No matter what we're going through, we can celebrate in any stage of life, in any circumstance in life, because our faith is in a good and gracious God upon whom we can depend in this life and in the life to come. So I begin thinking about the so what. Okay, so what? What might I recommend that we do now that we come to this understanding of the Lord's Prayer and as we begin to wrap things up and as we come to the part of the doxology at the end? Here is what I think the Lord would have us to do. As you go throughout your day this coming week, I want you to take an opportunity to either say that last line or to sing that last line. And you can say it out loud, sing it out loud, or you can just say it to yourself or hum it to yourself. As you go throughout the day, I want you to look for opportunities that you can say that last line. Now, it may be that you're going through a particular challenge, and it's scary. But as you say that last line, as you pray that last line, as you sing that last line, you'll be reminded that though fear may fill our world, it need not fill our heart, that we're dependent upon a good and gracious God who will always be with us. And you can pray that last line if you're facing a particular challenge. But how about this? Suppose you go throughout the day and you see something. You see an act of kindness, or you see something of beauty, or you see something of, yeah, that's what the kingdom of God looks like when it comes upon the earth. Those two people over there are being reconciled. You see something of the beauty of God's kingdom. That's a time to worship. Say that last line, or pray that last line, or sing that last line. All through the day, look for opportunities just to hum it or sing it or say it or pray it. You'll be amazed about how it will help you during the course of your day. But as you begin to do it more and more, what will happen is your day will turn into a day of praising God and honoring Him. You know, as I think about praying the Lord's Prayer every day, and particularly coming to the last part, I'm thinking about how when we come to the end of the day and we tuck one another in to go to bed and we sing that last line, it's so very special to put a day to rest by saying, "And for the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours now and forever." I think it'll give us all a better night's sleep if we can learn to do that. But if we were to do that each and every day, and at the end of every day be able to say that line, it would prepare us for at the end of our life to say that very line and to be in peace and to be and to have a spirit of tranquility and peace about us. You see, God created us to glorify Him on earth and to enjoy Him forever. And as we pray the Lord's Prayer, particularly come to that last line, we are being transformed more and more and more into instruments of praise and instruments of worship unto His glory. More and more and more we will see the purpose of our life is not to point to ourselves, but to point to God and His greatness and His goodness and His mercy and His justice. You know, Jesus was faced with three temptations. In the wilderness, He was faced with that first temptation to turn the rocks into bread. Jesus could have done that. He said that, well, you shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes forth from the Father's mouth. But what He was basically doing is saying, the glory is not mine. The glory is the Father's. And then the second temptation was, well, listen, why don't you just jump from the pinnacle of the temple and command the angels to come and pick you up and save you? And He said, well, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. But basically what Jesus was saying is that the power is not mine. The power is God's. He had the power, but He said that all power belonged to His heavenly Father. Again, He pointed beyond Himself. And the third temptation was seeing all the kingdoms of the world, they can be yours if you fall down and worship Me. And He said, no, you shall worship the Lord your God and Him only. And again, Jesus was saying, the kingdom and the power and the glory are God's. And my mission in life is to ultimately lead people to know God's kingdom, power, and glory. And the purpose of my life is to become a living sacrifice so that persons may know the truth of that. And Jesus Christ withstood the temptations to say that it was all about Him. Rather, He said, no, it's all about My Father's business. What are you doing, Jesus? I must be about My Father's business. Always pointing to Him. As we pray this prayer, it will humble our hearts to know that it's not about us, but in everything that we do, we're pointing people to God and to His goodness. As we come to the close of this service, that really is the invitation for this coming week, is each and every day, look for opportunities to pray that last line, to sing that last line, say that last line. And I believe that at the end of the day, you reflect back, you'll see how it helped you and how it helped change you. And as you do that each and every day for the rest of your life, you will see how it transforms you to become more and more and more into a praise instrument for God. And it'll keep you humble. And it'll keep you dependent. And it'll keep you aware of the blessing that we have, that when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, He gave them this prayer. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.